Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. And it is another special episode. I have with me Sanjay Manaktala.
What's up? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Hanging out, freezing here in Singapore in the AC, ironically.
While it's raining outside.
And it's raining outside, yeah.
Great. So you have a pretty interesting career and journey, actually, which I want to ask you about, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you were initially in the US and then you moved to India specifically to do like stand-up and...
Yeah, sort of. I grew up in the US. I was born and brought up over there,
yeah.
Hence the way I speak. I was working out there as a traditional middle-class Indian kid, working in software, trying to make the parents happy and all. And after a few years, just like any other person who, you know, grew up with a decent life, I was getting bored of the office grind, and I'm not happy, and what do I do? Boo-hoo, right?
Yeah.
And I just decided there's got to be something else. So I would travel through different cities in America.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, like, the really lame parts of the U.S., like Wyoming or Idaho. They're not lame, but I'm saying, like, there's not much to do, but I would be working there.
They needed
Indian computer guys. And
I went to Omaha once. It was the deadest place I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah. Coming out of India, everything seems dead. You know, like, there's just nothing to do. But there was comedy clubs. So I could, you know, experiment with comedy over there. I got started. And yeah, pretty soon later, my job shifted me out to India.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be for a year, but the comedy was picking up there so hard in 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
That's how I got to meet Sorb and all these guys back then. And yeah, I've been there ever since. And now we're in Singapore doing some shows. So,
yeah,
you know, it's been fun.
That's awesome. And so initially, I know a lot of you guys, and you yourself included, started off with stand-up, which was, as you said, taking off quite a bit. But about probably 2012, 13, the whole YouTube scene also just exploded a lot. And I know you did a lot of stuff on YouTube, which gained a bit of traction. So was that a kind of, did you plan that, or was it just, it just kind of happened?
You know, I think you're right about the fact that there's been a big burst in the last 2 years, I would say.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, like the AIB and these guys have definitely, and Viral Fever have helped.
Yeah.
Push the trend initially because they've done it right with production. And then, of course, you have your superwomen and those types of folks who have been doing it organically worldwide as well, but have a DC following, right?
Yeah.
For me, I never really wanted to do YouTube entirely. It was just more of I really enjoyed stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that if you have videos out there, people will come to see your comedy shows.
Yeah.
And how else do you keep your brand alive? And how else do you kind of, you know, keep marching forward? So... videos are fun to make, but they're very hard to make. Like, once you actually start doing them, aside from, like, a funny cell phone thing, which might go viral if you just catch something at the right moment or do some silly stuff on Vine, to actually make a video these days, you have to do a lot of production. You got to script it out. You got to act it out and all that. So I always wanted to build an audience on YouTube so I could get stand-up people to come out, but it wasn't a conscious thing. It just kind of happened organically over time.
The standards also for what you put on YouTube are now just so much higher with guys like TVF, AIB, and also just globally. You know, the YouTubers are now getting like super professional in terms of like production quality and stuff. And it's interesting because I met with the AIB guys a couple of months ago when they were here, and they actually said the exact same thing. They did not want to do YouTube at all, but they were kind of pushed to do it to, you know, build up following for their stand-up, etc. And of course, they also had the podcast.
Yeah,
which is a very convenient segue into the fact that you also have a podcast.
Yeah, I have I call it a comedy nerd podcast, which, you know, there's a big following for that sort of stuff in the US and Australia and Europe. But in India, the stand-up comedy scene, people are only digging into it more than just the actual show. People want to know how the comedians chit-chat and, like, how they think and, you know, what they do behind the scenes and all that stuff. So I recognize that people weren't really interviewing comedians about stand-up, and I get a lot of messages all the time on Facebook or on Twitter, said, how did you start, said, you know, like, how do you do all this? And then I'm like, I'll just interview people who, you know, have some decent traction, and, you know, I'll just get their inputs. And yeah, I have a podcast called the Global Comedian Podcast, which I just run on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And it eats up all your data if you actually watch the whole thing, as a lot of people have complained about. But yeah, I get comics who've been on like Conan, Letterman, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they just give their gyan about, you know, how to make it in the industry and kind of the stuff we're talking about today as well.
Mm-hmm. Two things on that. One is I find it very cool also with, you know, you guys who have kind of helped develop the stand-up scene in India. I find it great that you guys are still super accessible. I mean, even for to get this set up, I literally just sent you an email and sent Saurabh an email. And, you know, you guys responded and just took it from there. There are no agents and middlemen and stuff involved, which is, I find really cool, which is not necessarily the case in other countries. And the other thing also is, which I find interesting is, and tell me if you agree, but in general, I feel like, and I'm not saying this because I decided to start a podcast, but I feel like podcasts in as a concept have also been picking up in India. Because I remember when I was starting, I generally listen to a lot of podcasts, which in the US and stuff are super popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, and I used to listen to the AIB podcast. They've been doing it for a while.
Oh, wow,
They were doing it before they
yeah.
took it all down. But I was thinking, and I was actually went on iTunes and went on Google and searched to find other podcasts like about India or based in India, done by Indian people or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and literally did not find anything other than a couple of, you know, NRI podcast, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in about April this year. And then between April and June, I kind of thought about it more, pushed myself to actually start this.
Yeah.
And literally by July, there were about 8 or 10 other podcasts which, you know, came up in that time. So do you think it's something that's going to pick up or?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're on to two things. I mean, number one, like you mentioned initially about being accessible and all, people don't realize like in the creative space, unless you're like an actual like super movie star or whatever, it's very easy to get people's time. People just don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not like, you know, famous by any means, but I'll have people like come up to me at a bar and be like, can we take a picture? Do you mind? Or like, you know, do you have a, like, can we get you for a show? What's your manager's email? I'm like, it's my email. Just email me, you know, like, and so I think people put you on a pedestal because in India, creative types are obviously a very new thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very small community in Bollywood that kind of, I mean, there's like 5 people who pull all the strings for all the big movies.
Yeah.
But now, as you mentioned earlier, anybody can make a pretty classy video with cheap DSLR cameras and, you know, like the mics you're using and all that sort of stuff. And a MacBook is a freaking genius in a box. You can do anything with your MacBook, animation, whatever that a Hollywood studio could do. So with podcasts, the big thing is, you know, yeah, AIB is doing it and there's probably a few other channels. And like you mentioned, you're starting it now. Even with YouTube, you know, we used to think even, I'm like, oh man, they've already done this video and I can't do something like this now. Or, oh man, they're getting so many followers. And even though we're all friends, it's going to be very hard to compete with this now. There's like a bajillion channels in America that each do their own thing and a lot overlap. And there's College Humor and Effin' Funny and like all these other groups and Kay and Peel and all that stuff, right? So I think in India, since the community is so small, we start to think like, you know, if he's doing it, I can't do it. But dude, if there's only 2 podcasts or 10 podcasts or even 100 podcasts for a country of a billion people, and let's assume 400 million English speakers as well as you who watch How I Met Your Mother and, you know, Kapil Sharma and get all your sensibilities, then there's a shit ton of room to grow, you know? And your generation, I mean, you know, that's it. But like, you know, people who are under 25, they don't give a shit about TV as much. They care about Snapchat and Instagram and short form content and podcasts to listen to on a drive to Goa or whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like if you keep at this and you get great, amazing guests like me, then yeah, you'll do fine, you know? And about Saurabh, let me tell you about Saurabh. You're saying he's very accessible.
Yeah.
I was knocking on his door yesterday, like, hey, just give this guy an interview. He's emailing me. Just do him a favor.
Yeah. It's all down to Sanjay.
So anyways, you heard that, Saurabh, if you ever listen to this? Yeah.
No.
So.
I also, literally Saurabh was like, it's good, man. You know people. That's good. Because we also have another mutual friend who I was like, please email Saurabh. Get him to come on the show.
I just forwarded in your email. I was like, dude, just take his interview, man. And he's like, all right. So.
Yeah. Hopefully he had fun, though. He seemed like he enjoyed it.
Yeah, I could hear you guys from the other room. So
oh,
I
nice.
Was about to knock and interrupt, but I didn't. Yeah. So.
Nice. One interesting thing, though, you mentioned that, you know, people under 25 are much more into Snapchat and YouTube and short-form content. I want to ask you a kind of counter question to that, because the way I see it, I also think there's a big untapped opportunity in terms of long form content, which now TVF is starting to plug with their web series and stuff. Because as you mentioned, people like me grew up watching Friends and How I Met Your Mother and, you know, Seinfeld and stuff.
Sure.
And my view is that the reason we did that is because we related to that more than whatever Saas Bahu shows were happening on TV.
Of course, yeah.
Which I find baffling if, like, in your home country, you don't find content that's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is now a big gap, which is starting to be filled, A, with, you know, just online YouTube gives you a huge platform to do things. But also moving into TV now, like AIB has started this news comedy show on air.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were a guest on Kenny Sebastian's show, The Living Room.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, yeah.
Which was, you know, improv sketch comedy.
Sort of, you could say that, yeah. Anyways,
you guys messing
on.
Around, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Just an aside, the bit with you guys did with the call center one, like, this is my first time, like, that is, I have not legitimately laughed that hard for...
Oh, man, thank you, yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That was a fun, we shot that in, like, two takes, and that was cool, yeah.
So. It was great, yeah, you guys should definitely check that out if you haven't talked to my virtual listeners out there somewhere. You know, the 10 people who actually...
No, I'm sure you'll have more.
Yeah, now that I have you, like, you know, all
you
of
have,
your
now,
thousands
now you
got, of Twitter
now you got
followers.
11, yeah. So, no, but I mean, if you're... So your question is about long-form content.
My question is, one, do you, like, is that something you would, for example, be interested in doing or something you've thought about?
Yeah, I've thought about everything, to be honest. Like, you know, in stand-up, as a comedian, like, stand-up, you know, not all comedians are stand-up comedians, but all stand-up comedians are comedians, if you know what I mean. Like, you could be a TV personality, like, or an actor like Johnny Lever, who also does some amazing one-man shows. You could just be some funny weatherman, but, you know, but I'm saying, like, for me, it's, like, long-form content, I thought about it, but what I've also realized painfully is I don't have the shared experience that somebody like an Arunav at TVF has, you know, where he grew up in the hostels, you know, sharing, you know, porno DVDs, like, with his buddies, right? But then also watched Friends and can, like, get the mishmash of both, right?
Right.
But I think long-form content is something that people want to consume. I mean, not everything has to be comedy.
Yeah.
There can be drama, there can be action, there can be suspense, and it takes time to develop characters. And obviously, those are the best time-pass things. And the writing is amazing on, like, their permanent roommates and their TVF pictures and all that stuff. I was yelling at Erno. I was like, dude, why didn't you put me in that show, you bastard? He's like, oh, I was speaking English. But no, you know, but...
Although a lot of that stuff is in English, like the actual show itself.
A lot of it is in English.
Which is reflective of how, you know, people actually, at least in the urban metropolitan cities, how life actually is.
It's a lot of English, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like when I get on stage generally, and the reason... So you're saying, you know, you grew up watching How I Met Your Mother and all that stuff, and, you know, those are your sensibilities, but... And why are these Saas Bahu TV shows still going on? Why is Kapil Sharma so popular?
Mm-hmm.
Because the majority of the country, just like the U.S., is not Bombay, Delhi, Chennai, Bangalore. It's the people who give the ad revenue to these shows. The same reason whatever AIB is doing, they have a Hindi version.
Because
they need to tap those markets, and advertisers know that. So I think long-form content is an amazing thing. But for somebody like me, like, I don't really have a strong team the way, you know, Sorab and his gang have banded together, and AIB and all these other folks. And it's easier for me to play the short content game right now. I can do funny stuff, you know, on Twitter or Vine or Instagram, and possibly get the same impressions, the same number of hits. Later, if I have a bigger following, I'll invest in long form content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working with Varun Agarwal. Him and I did a couple of videos together.
Yeah.
Just like Anuanti rap and some other
silly
sketches. And so he's interested to fund long form content, and he has the Hindi context, you know, and I can just bring the jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll do it, but for somebody like me, it's easier to just do stuff on my phone with my gear that I have.
Makes sense. I want to ask you also, since we brought up some of the stuff you've done, the IT guy videos, which I think were a big factor in, you know, really building up your following.
Mm-hmm.
There are five of them, I believe.
Yeah,
so.
Crazy. And people are pushing me to do a six. I'm like, I can't. I just can't stop. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so when I'm, my life is sad, but when I'm bored, I actually sit and read YouTube comments for various things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how for the last one, you were like, you know, I put out all this other stuff, and everyone comments just saying, you know, where's the next IT guy video? Where's the next IT guy video?
Yeah.
And they're like, screw it, guys. I'm just going to do it. Here, go.
Yeah.
But so where did that idea kind of come from?
That came, so right when I was getting started on stand-up here, I was also bored during the daytime, and I had my IT job still, and people always thought I was, you know, pretty funny at the office. Word was getting around. I do this comedy thing because there's articles, Bangalore Times and all that stuff. So I was like, man, we should do like a funny little thing about the IT stuff. And when you're just starting out, what's the obvious thing? It's like parodies and music and that sort of, you know, base one. So I did that. I had fun with it. And, you know, I got 4,000, 5,000 hits in like 2012 or 11, which for India was a decent, you know, just purely Bangalore stuff, right? It was edited very badly, the first one I did. So then Kenny and I, like, you know, we'd pretty much meet every day, discuss stand-up, do other things and stuff. And he was like, dude, I can edit videos fairly well, and I can shoot videos. And he opened up my eyes to, like, how shooting goes, because I was just shaky camera, no tripod. Yeah. And then he kind of came with all his gear and did it properly. And I was just watching him edit and freaking bastard has so many talents, right? So he can play music and do stand-up. And then he was just like a magician, like on the editing. And I mean, now I can do exactly what he was doing years later after, you know, learning myself. But I was like in awe that it just could look almost like an MTV video in like literally a day or two. Yeah. So after we did the second one, we just thought, whoa, we're onto something. Because the second one was the first one to go fairly popular. Mm-hmm. StoryPick had just come out, I think, in early 2013 or late 2012. And they gave us like a 50,000 boost bump, you know, and then Tanmay was sharing it, I think, and all that stuff. So we got some bumps from his fans and all. And then 3.0 was the first one to cross, my first video to cross 100K. Then 4.0 was the big one that did like 800 some odd. Mm. And then since I was going to the US, I thought, let me do the fifth one just to kind of get these guys off my back. And it's different. And this one's shot in San Francisco and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that was that. Yeah. So now I'm done with it. But yeah, it's the main thing that has built my fan following are a lot of engineers and those sorts of guys.
I like it because I think it's fairly different. It reminds me of, like, you know, the Lonely Island and like the stuff they do, which is like the fake parody rap. And I listen also to a lot of rap and hip hop, so I like recognize certain things. And
my influence for that, there was a guy who I like really admired called John Lajoie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen his YouTube channel. He's very inactive now. He puts out a video like every 3 months, but it's very nicely done, really shot well on red cameras and all.
Yeah.
But he's got like 3 million subscribers or a million or whatever he's got, but for like hardly putting out videos because now he's acting in Hollywood stuff and
right.
He used to have this series called The Everyday Normal Guy where it was just about rapping. Like his first line was, it's all gangster rap.
Yeah,
he was like, when I go to the club, I wait in line, bitches. Like, so he would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I met him actually at a bar
In
Hollywood, total like 2009, 2010. Like, he did a selfie, all that sort of shit, right?
Yeah.
I think he was with a girl who he probably appreciated me making him look good. But, you know, so I was like, oh, dude, people can rap about other stuff.
Yeah.
He's just rapping about being a dude. Let me try to rap about, you know, being just a guy in software because that's my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, so then that was in the back of my head for a few years, and I finally did something about it. Yeah, electronic
city. Sanjay. High tech city. It's been 6 months, another techie flow. You ready, engineers? Here we go. When I was 21, guess what? Didn't know what I wanted to do. When I was 31, guess what? Didn't know what I wanted to do. When I was 41, I'm not 41, won't know what I want to do. It's all good, it's a normal process. Six Sigma is what my boss
now is. Here we go, it's the IT show. As of right now, 4.0. Everybody sing along, don't be shy. Be a little proud to be an IT guy. Throw your badge up in the air.
Up, up in the air.
Learn real skills and change the world. It's even more cool to be an IT girl.
IT is changing, no more laptop. Smartphone, tablet, 5-inch plasma. Mobile apps are the new big wave. Learn new skills and your job will save. Work smarter, not harder, and enjoy the life. Succeed at work, get along with the wife. Come in early and stay in late is a sure shot way to find a job you'll hate. Yo, if you're an IT, don't be embarrassed, be proud. Banker, accountant, marketing, you make their job easier. You make something. And while they're getting laid off, you'll be getting laid. Sorry, paid. I meant paid.
Now here we go. It's the IT show. As of right now, 4.0. Everybody sing along. Don't be shy. Be a little proud to be an IT guy. Throw your offer letter in the air.
Up, up in the air.
Learn real skills and change the world. It's even more cool to be an IT girl.
Remember those days when you were just getting started, being in your trainings, getting ready for the client site? Then you go onshore, nearshore, offshore, visas, H1, L1. Which one is better? What's my salary going to be? Hey, if you come back, bring chocolates. If you go overseas, bring chocolates. If you go overseas, bring chocolates. If you go to your native, bring sweets. If you go overseas, bring whiskey. You know we want duty free. It's a little strange, the corporate culture, changing job like a corporate vulture. Hey, buddy, if you work at Wipro, why does your backpack say Lenovo?
Now here we go with the IT show. Thank you again, that was 4.0. Everybody sing along, don't be shy. Be a little proud to be an IT guy. CC your boss if you need to look strong, but BCC is shady and wrong. Dykstra wanted the shortest route. Dedication, passion, that's your truth. Now everybody is an IT guy. Software everywhere, an IT guy. Teach the kids to be IT guys. Teach the parents to be IT guys. Own notation can mean hell. Study hard, code well. It's all good if you lose your hair. IT guys, we just don't care.
Subscribe, comment, and like.
This, although we've talked about a lot of fun stuff, the podcast is supposed to be theoretically about Bollywood. Mm-hmm. You have mentioned that you do not watch Bollywood movies. Mm-hmm. Was that a conscious decision, or did that just happen because you didn't really grow up in India? Or, like, did your family ever watch Bollywood? Or
yeah, oh yeah, big time. And my mom is staying with me in Bangalore right now for a few months. She watches the stuff all the time on the TV, right? So. Yeah. I grew up watching, like, you know, like Kamapke Hekon and DDLJ. And all, I mean, you know, once in like 6 months, movie, all the major ones, right? But the way people, like, every day, there's like now some tweet about like Tamasha or that Shah Rukh Khan movie that everybody hated and all that. Yeah. I cannot pay attention to all that stuff. Yeah. Like, unless it's like the Lunchbox, I think was the last, not even if you can count that as Bollywood movie that I actually sat through, right? Yeah. Which I liked. It was a good only because Louis C.K. tweeted about it saying how great of a movie it was. That grabbed my attention. But I know a lot about Bollywood. You know, my cousins have a studio in Bombay. They work with all these movie stars. They're very familiar with the industry. All my friends, I mean, Saurabh you just spoke to, they do a ton of Bollywood centric humor. AIB, of course, because that's pop culture, right? Mm-hmm. If you do a funny video making fun of a celebrity or a joke on stage with a reference about Tushar Kapoor, Shiny Ahuja, or whatever, all these, like, you know, things that are in... Is Shiny Ahuja even... Is he in Bollywood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just about.
He's not Baltic.
He's just about an actor, but...
Yeah. And, like, all these guys have, you know, initially would have, like, Tushar Kapoor as a punchline and all that sort of stuff. So, I know all the Bollywood references. I enjoy, like, aspects of the culture. I know, like, who's dating who and all that stuff. But the actual movies, dude, I mean, like, I can't sit... Like, anytime you're in a theater... After, like, the first time, like, 10 movies you've seen and you recognize the formula, right when you know they're just going to go into a song and it's just like, oh, I can't sit through 6 minutes of this, like, in the cinema. I can forward it at home, but they're just going to, they're going to do their stuff. And what I also love about Bollywood is the fact, I mean, I know Hollywood is guilty of this too, but I think Bollywood obviously overdoes anything Hollywood does, like, you know, with Robo and all these other types, but... Like, Shah Rukh Khan is, like, 55, and he's trolling around, or 50, and he's, like, trolling around with, like, a 22-year-old actress, and, like, or Salman Khan is however old he is, but he's, like, in a high school, like, for some role. Like, he's a college student, and it just seems so off for me, you know? So, I love some of the movies. Every time I watch a Bollywood movie, I want to get married, because the love story, the love stories are done well, right? They're done so well.
You're they used to be, at least. Now it's also getting a bit...
Yeah, but if you watch, like, what was, like, the last, like, Queen, I saw Queen.
Queen, yeah.
I was like, man, I want to marry that girl. Like, she's killing it, you know? But anyways, I didn't have to interrupt you. What was your question specifically, though?
No, that was basically it. I mean, the thing is, yeah, we also end up discussing this a lot on the show where my other guests and co-hosts who I bring on the show just, you know, spend half their time just yelling at me, being like, why are you making us watch all these terrible movies? Mm. And having decided to do this on a fairly regular basis, I have now committed myself to watching a lot of Bollywood movies that I wouldn't watch otherwise.
You guys discussed the movies on your podcast, is that right? And did you already watch Dilwale and all that stuff?
No, Dilwale is coming out in 2 weeks.
Oh, it hasn't come out
yet. It hasn't come out yet.
You haven't torrented people are the still... shit out of that. Yeah, you haven't bothered.
No, not yet.
But you've seen all the memes, how people are saying it sucks and, like, all that sort of stuff.
That's the thing, though. But, like, a lot of people on Twitter and stuff will make jokes about how it sucks. But then you go to, like, the song on YouTube and it has, like, million views in like 15 minutes. And then you look at all the comments. And one of my favorite comment, I was on one of the videos, and someone who's not Indian, like just some person, I don't know, follows Bollywood for whatever reason, and they put up a comment being like, oh, like, you know, I don't understand the lyrics, but like, I really love this song. Is this like a good movie? Should I watch it? And the first reply is like, the movie comes out December 18th, but it's Shah Rukh Khan, it will be an amazing movie. And I'm like, you've made up your mind already. Like, what is the point of even going to watch the movie? And that's one. And two is like, if you watch the trailer, you know it's not going to be a good movie. Like, I will be... And it's happened before. Like, I thought Tamasha would be a terrible movie. It actually turned out to be really good. Mm-hmm. But I will be so surprised if Dilwale ends up being a good movie.
Yeah, I was, because, again, I don't pay attention to Bollywood, but as a comedian, I know I got to talk about it once in a while, right? Because like, you can get the nice funny tweet about the movie, you can get a bunch of followers, and prove that you also have the funny muscle in you sometimes. But with all these YouTube things, like, and I pay attention to this quite a bit, because like, once in a while, maybe once or twice a year, if I hit gold on a good video, like the Made Sketch or the IT stuff, right? Yeah. I'll be on like that top YouTube chart. So then I'm like, I'm all happy. I'm ahead of Honey Singh today. I'm ahead of Shah Rukh Khan today. And this is like Eros Entertainment with like, $1 million budget on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they push their videos like anything. For sure. They push them because, like you said, it'd be a million hits in like a day, but it'll be like 1,000 likes, 2,000 dislikes, or maybe 3,000 likes and 1,000 dislikes, which is actually pretty bad for YouTube to have 30%, negative engagement. And, there was I read those comments too, and I feel like it's the same guy writing all the comments.
I would not be surprised.
I feel like there's just one dedicated internet cafe in, MP somewhere, in some small town where Shah Rukh Khan just hired freaking like 50, 16-year-olds who just write hot must love, love Shah Rukh, and like all those, and make those Shah Rukh Khan fan club Twitter accounts and all that stuff. And I don't get it, but I'm like, who is sitting here like, the song too good, listening all day? No, I don't. I mean, maybe I don't know, because I don't live in those small towns, and you don't either, and you probably like hearing Maroon 5 one day or this guy the next day and all that. But to me, it's like, how can you hear the same stuff over and over? But if you think in Hindi and you're really, you want to get married and you're kind of in that space, maybe these songs do something for some people. So
yeah, I mean, the songs themselves, I don't really have a problem. I mean, for the songs of this movie so far, there are also other movies and songs where I'm like, how can you even listen to this song? But that's a whole other issue. But it's also just, I mean, I find it very interesting that, people will just blindly follow, like the star power of these guys, like people will just blindly watch anything Shah Rukh Khan does or Salman Khan does and say it's great, no matter what. Like there's no objective thinking whatsoever.
Yeah, like the majority of us probably that you're going to have on your podcast, I probably aren't in this space, but I think there eventually will come a point where you're just so famous, it won't matter what you do because you've just hit so many home runs. Shah Rukh Khan can make the next 50 terrible movies, but he's still got DDLJ. He's still got, all the other movies that he's done. And it's just like, we just like watching him on screen. Salman Khan, the same thing. People start cheering and screaming. Rajnikanth, how bad was Robo? I know that's not, that was Bollywood, right?
To some degree. It was dubbed in Hindi.
But they had Ashura in it and all that stuff. Did they? Was she in it?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's so bad, but it's just so, it's like, screw it, man. Like, we like the person more than the story. We just want to see the guy. Yeah. That's it,
I found it hilarious that, like, the last movie, Kochadaya, that Rajnikanth did, they actually had to make, with Deepika Padukone, they actually had to make the movie animated because, like, even the most ardent Bollywood or Tollywood cinema-going audience would not believe that Rajnikanth in real life the way he is could score Deepika.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I never understood that. When I moved here, and I mean, I know he's a legend. He's basically a religious figure. People love him, so I would never deny that. But just considering the way entertainment is, this like slightly pudgy bald guy is like the stud, and he puts on a wig and nobody cares because they just his style. Like, dude, that's amazing. So that's the thing. It's like, if you're a star and you've touched people's emotions, and one thing that somebody from, there was a professor at Wharton in the business school in the University of Pennsylvania. He talked about what makes things go viral, right? Like, because I'm sitting here, freaking busting my ass trying to do a music video hoping for 200,000 hits, and some cat is like getting 8 million hits on a cell phone that has then been ripped 80 times across Reddit, 90 different Facebook pages, and each of them get 10 million hits. And I'm like, Jesus, what? This is shot like terribly. There's no audio. Like, what the hell? But so the guy did this study, and he was like, basically, emotion is the number one. And, you know, laughter is a form of emotion to some degree. Sure. But a lot of it is like, oh, look at what this guy did. For example, like, you know, the Chennai floods are happening right now. So there'll be a lot of like, and nothing against that, but I'm saying digitally, people will start putting out content and, you know, hero stories and all that stuff that people will really attach to, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with these movie stars. They've proved to you that they can do hits.
Yeah.
Now they can do whatever the hell they want, and they're sitting back in the cash machine, you know. Yeah. So I don't know why people still watch it, but I'm not that famous, and I'm way far from that. So maybe one day, you know, it will be, but I don't know.
Yeah, we always, I mean, we talk about it a lot on the show, so I won't get into it, but we always have this like debate where I'm like super idealistic, where I'm like, if you're that big, you should have some sort of like artistic desire or integrity to make things that are actually good and meaningful, as opposed to, you know, just doing a bunch of random shit, which, you know, will still make the same. Because I think, if I think about Aamir Khan, right, he puts out a movie which is quite thought-provoking and insightful, like PK or Rang De Basanti, and it does tremendous business and it breaks all records because he's Aamir Khan. But he also does Doom 3, which will still also make the same
money. But nothing artistically
impressive. And I'm like, if you're like, that's the thing, like, if you're Aamir Khan, you can make good. And to his credit, Doom 3 was a bit of a bolt from the blue with that. He usually does pretty good stuff. But he, to an extent, takes it upon himself to actually make things which are meaningful because he knows he has the reach.
Yeah.
And he can try to shape people's thinking and try to broaden the audience's horizons and mind. Whereas Shahrukh especially, I think, who has shown in the past that he has the acting range and the capacity to do different things, but has decided that, you know, I'm just going to make Happy New Year and Dilwale and all these crazy movies. And
yeah, like, you know, actually Aamir Khan, and funny given the timing of what happened in the last few weeks, all conspiracy theories aside, I don't feel what he said was crazy at all. It was just taken out of context. And these same YouTube commenters we were talking about just jump on a headline and say he's anti, you know, not patriotic or whatever. But yeah, he's probably the biggest guy at his level who does at least the most artistic stuff, because he's trying to put a message out, and whether or not he got paid well or not, his show, you know, that he did was, you know, pretty cool, and like trying to open up issues. Yeah. And like about Shah Rukh Khan, a lot of friends of mine who have worked on my videos on my YouTube channel, who have helped me for like, you know, next to nothing money wise, have worked for like Red Chili and like a lot of these production houses in Bombay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, if you were like, I mean, these are smart guys who have studied in like, you know, film school at NYU or USC or somewhere in Italy or Prague or whatever. And they come back here and they do Bollywood because it pays the bills, you know, like they need to obviously pay back their 10 lakh film school loan and the very talented guys, After Effects, film editing, using nice cameras. But then I'm like, why are you working with me? Like, why do you, he's like, cause I get no happiness from that stuff that I'm just trying to sell popcorn in movie theaters for some song and dance item number. But at least what you're doing, we're trying innovative comedy, or we're trying different angles, and we're doing cool stuff once in a while. So these guys are all smart. Like Shah Rukh Khan, whether or not you think his movies are a little hacky or too mainstream, and he definitely knows exactly what he's doing.
We were actually discussing this last week.
Yeah, he knows exactly the game he's playing. He knows before a movie comes out if it's going to be a flop. Like, he knew Dilwale would not be liked by the like people like you and me who, you know, the middle class who can kind of see through the cliches.
And he's not—he's not trying to please us either. He's going definitely for his core target.
Or he's like, you know, these are the big spenders in some areas, but let it bomb, because they'll react this way, and there'll just be more eyeballs on my bad product. There'll be parodies about how bad it was. It'll all make my brand higher.
Yeah,
he knows. He guaranteed him and his team knew exactly what was going to happen, and now it's coming out in Singapore. They'll have some events here, hang out at a mall, do all their stuff.
Yeah, they're all just like in London right now, just, you know, going from
He'll be on your podcast next week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
you can ask him. Yeah, you never know, man. You never know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Final question before we let you go, or final couple of questions. What is the best and worst Bollywood movie that you've watched?
The best Bollywood movie I have seen. Oh man, this is a tough one for me. Hamat Ki Hai Kaun was the Kiamat Se Kiamat was the first Kiamat Se Kiamat Tak, right? Yeah. Aamir Khan, right?
His first movie ever.
Yeah, that was the first one I ever saw, and I loved it. Okay. I really liked it. Oh, he's in the guitar, and he's like dancing, and he's talking about his father, and it's like so emotional and all that stuff. So that and Hapki Hekkonen are my two favorites, like that I've seen like 50 times mm-hmm. or whatever. The worst Bollywood movie.
I'm sure there's a lot of candidates for that one.
Yeah, there are a lot of candidates, but I don't think I've ever made it through a really bad Bollywood movie. Like there was, this is a hard question for me. You know what's weird? I saw when I moved to India, the first movie I saw was the movie Aisha with Sonam Kapoor. Yeah. It's like Indian Clueless. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen
but
it.
But as embarrassed as it was, I kind of enjoyed it. maybe I was like flirting with the girl who took me or whatever to watch it. But I was sitting there, they're like, we're around a campfire smoking joints, and like Lisa Hayden was like, who's that girl?
Yeah.
This is like 2010, fair. Right? And I was like, oh, she's grabbed my attention a little bit. And, yeah, I knew it was a terrible movie as I was going through it, and it was influenced by a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the worst Bollywood. I mean, there's so many, dude. But what are some of the ones you've already heard from other folks? What are some of the other what are the candidates for worst Bollywood movie ever?
My personal worst movie I've ever seen is Chandni Chowk to China. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Chandni Chowk. Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, I remember Akshay Kumar.
There's a talking potato in the movie, which I like. When that everything before that was terrible enough. When that happened, I was like, okay, this is just.
Yeah, actually, my favorite is Ram Lakhan. Also, that's Anil Kapoor when Slumdog Millionaire won the Oscars and all that stuff. Yeah. This is a true story, by the way. He was our childhood hero, my brother and I, because we had a Ram Lakhan tape.
Yeah.
VHS tape that we would just watch on the weekends because that's the only thing our grandma could watch along with us, right? And so childhood hero. My brother is a DJ now, wedding coordinator and event manager in LA.
Yeah.
So any Desi event, he's like a part of in some way. So all these rich Indians who have weddings like a Ritz-Carlton or whatever. So point being, he got called when Slumdog Millionaire was doing the Oscars that we think they're going to win it. Can you host the after party? He was like DJing and playing on the Bollywood track. These white people don't know. They're just like, can you just play some 10 Indian songs? Yeah. And like, you know, it's going to be at this fancy hotel. My brother was like, yeah, dude, this is great, great exposure for me. And so Anil Kapoor is there. You know, he just got his Oscar, 10 minutes back with Danny Boyle. And they walk in and these guys are like having champagne. And he walks up to Anil Kapoor. He's like, hey, man, I'm the DJ. I'm going to give you the mic to give a speech later on. So be your childhood hero. You know, can I get a selfie with you? And Anil Kapoor says no.
He just straight up refused.
He just straight dissed him. And I get a text from my brother because I was like in some other Detroit.
His childhood was ruined.
Yeah. And, no, the text just said, Anil Kapoor is a dick. that was the text. And I'm like looking at it like at my office meeting or wherever I am. And I'm like, what the hell is this? But he said, yeah, he just wouldn't take a photo with me. And it was such a buzzkill. And I was like, what are you going to do? But yeah, the worst movie, I have no idea. You know, I don't really finish the worst ones, so I don't actually bother watching them. But yeah,
what was the last really bad movie that you walked out of?
You know, this is going to be an answer you're probably not going to hear a lot, but I heard this movie was amazing, and it wasn't bad. I just didn't have the patience to get through it. This Ship of Prometheus? Ship of Theseus. Yeah, I heard all these amazing reviews, how it's totally
anti-Bollywood. Yeah, it's supposed to be like the best indie film.
And you know, although it's some Mumbai dude who's probably a genius and all, it was just too surreal and too for me. So I could give you all the like the silly ones. Why I couldn't, that's why I'm not telling you. but yeah, I'd have to give that, which is not a funny answer for anybody listening.
But that was actually one of the movies that inspired Kannan and Biswa to do pretentious movie reviews.
Ship of Theseus, it was a bit too much,
really pretentious.
Yeah, and basically look at any of their reviews and you probably have a lot of candidates for worst movie, and good movies also they kind of play on. But that's my answer, which is not satisfying to anybody, I'm sorry. And Chandni Chowk, I'll take that.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for being here and doing this.
Cool, man.
Well, being here in your room, but...
Yeah, it's the weirdest. We recorded this in my hotel room, which has a shower in the middle and, you know, whatever. But it stopped raining, so I won't feel bad when you leave, so that's cool.
Yeah. Luckily, people can't see this, and so they don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know, man. When you get Shahrukh and Amir next week, you'll be sorted out. You might want to DVD that one or record that one.
Got to do it.
Yeah, but cool, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. That's our show, and we hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to check out our website, ticproductionsindia.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/TIC Media Productions, and our Twitter handle @productions_TIC for regular news and updates. You can subscribe to the podcast on soundcloud.com/TIC-productions or on the SoundCloud app available on both iOS and Android. Apple users can also search for Bollywood Weekly using the podcast app, while Google Play users can do the same on Overcast or any other podcasting app available on the Google Play Store. See you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.